Anyway, you're all very, very welcome. And I'm really grateful that Nikki Johnson from St. Peter's Tiverton, just remembering that we've got a St. Peter's Tiverton and a St. Peter's Oakford, is here this morning to share in leading the service. So I hope you can all see a copy of Morning Prayer in front of you. Grace, mercy and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ be with you, and also with you. O Lord, open our lips, and our mouths shall proclaim your praise. Blessed are you, Creator of all, to you be praise and glory forever. As your dawn renews the face of the earth, bringing light and life to all creation, may we rejoice in this day you have made. Blessed be God forever. As we wake, refreshed from the depths of sleep, open our eyes to behold your presence and strengthen our hands to do your will, that the world may rejoice and give you praise. Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Blessed be God forever. The night has passed and the day lies open before us. Let us pray with one heart and mind. As we rejoice in the gift of this new day, so may the light of your presence, O God, set our hearts on fire with love for you, now and forever. Amen.
Amen.
A reading from St. Paul's letter to the Ephesians. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurable work, more than all we can ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. This is the word of the Lord.
5, 8, 8, 9, 1. You are joining the meeting. So our psalm this morning is Psalm 145. And we say together, Great is the Lord,
and highly to be praised.
All your works praise you, O Lord, and your faithful servants bless you. They tell of the glory of your kingdom and speak of your mighty power, to make known to all peoples your mighty acts and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Great is the Lord, and highly to be praised. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. Your dominion endures throughout all ages. The Lord is sure in all his words and faithful in all his deeds. The Lord upholds all those who fall and lifts up all those who are bowed down. Great is the Lord, and highly to be praised. The eyes of all wait upon you, O Lord, and you give them their food in due season. You open wide your hand and fill all things living with plenty. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and loving in all his works.
Great is the Lord, and highly to be praised.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forever. Amen. Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. Jesus crossed to the far shore of the Sea of Galilee, that is, the Sea of Tiberias. And a great crowd of people followed him because they saw the signs he had performed by healing the sick. Then Jesus went up on a mountainside and sat down with his disciples. The Jewish Passover festival was near. When Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd coming toward him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat?" He asked this only to test him, for he already had in mind what he was going to do. Philip answered him, "It would take more than half a year's wages to buy enough bread for each one to have a bite." Another of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. "Here is a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish. But how far will they go among so many?" Jesus said, "Have the people sit down." There was plenty of grass in that place, and they sat down. About 5,000 men were there. Jesus then took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted. He did the same with the fish. When they had all had enough to eat, he said to his disciples, "Gather the pieces that are left over. Let nothing be wasted." So they gathered them and filled 12 baskets with the pieces of the 5 barley loaves left over by those who had eaten. After the people saw the sign Jesus performed, they began to say, "Surely this is the prophet who is to come into the world." Jesus, knowing what they intended to come and make him king by force, withdrew again to a mountain by himself. When evening came, his disciples went down to the lake, where they got into a boat and set off across for Capernaum. By now it was dark, and Jesus had not yet joined them. A strong wind was blowing, and the waters grew rough. When they had rowed about 3 or 4 miles, they saw Jesus approaching the boat, walking on the water, and they were frightened. But he said to them, "It is I. Don't be afraid." Then they were willing to take him into the boat, and immediately the boat reached the shore where they were heading. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. One of the things I have missed most during the past 18 months is sharing food with family and friends. I love having people round for meals. I love deciding what to cook, leafing through good old Mary Berry or tried and tested Delia, or branching out and trying something new with Nigella and Nigel. I love chopping and preparing. And for me, there is nothing better than sitting round a table, chatting, eating, drinking and laughing and spending time together. And now we are out of restrictions and can begin to meet and socialise once more. It all feels rather wonderful and, if I'm honest, slightly odd at the same time. This week, our lectionary reading centres around a shared meal when Jesus fed at least 5,000 people by multiplying 5 loaves and 2 fish. It is the only miracle that appears in all 4 Gospels. Clearly, this story meant a lot to the early church. I wonder if this story of a shared meal might be especially significant to us this year also. I know that there are many different thoughts about the story of Jesus feeding the 5,000. Did Jesus really multiply 5 fish and 2 loaves to feed thousands? Or was the actual miracle the fact that the crowd had their hearts and minds opened to new spiritual possibilities and that they had a real encounter with Jesus? Did they begin to see that Jesus took a small and meagre offering of food and turned it into a banquet for many? Did they understand that Jesus can make use of whatever we give him, however small? We can't possibly know. All I do know is that I'm happy to believe that Jesus did something that was inexplicable and supernatural, far beyond my knowledge and capabilities. But let's not concentrate on the food this morning. Let's focus on the miracle of people gathering. John describes the scene, taking a slightly different slant than the other synoptic gospel writers. Jesus crosses the Sea of Galilee and takes his disciples up a mountain and sits down to teach them. But a large crowd has followed him. They are determined to catch up with Jesus. As you know, I used to be a teacher, and putting on the school play was my annual delight. However, it was always very tricky to find plays that had enough parts for everyone. All too often, I would read a play which would have about 10 good parts, and then everyone else was the crowd. I was never happy with that. I wanted everyone in the crowd to have a name and at least one line to say so that they became real people, not just the crowd. From what we read in the Bible, Jesus never saw just a crowd. He saw people, individuals, unique and special. From last week's reading from Mark, we know that when Jesus saw the crowd, he knew their needs and their wants, their hopes and their fears, and he had great, great compassion for them. I'm intrigued by the different reactions Jesus and the disciples had to the crowd. In Mark's version, the disciples are keen to send the crowd away, to send them off to fend for themselves. In other words, the disciples did not want the responsibility. Send the people away so they can go to the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat, it says in Mark chapter 6, verse 36. In other words, go away and sort yourselves out. But Jesus' reaction is different. He wants to make it possible for the crowd to stay, to be a community, to gather together. Make the people sit down, he says to the disciples in John chapter 6, verse 10. I really love Jesus' approach, his understanding that it is important for people to gather together, sit together, be together. Oh, how we've missed it. We know the sadness of eating alone, of not being able to have people to stay, our churches being locked, and the months we were unable to share bread and wine. We have been denied all these things, and I, for one, realize anew how wonderful and life-giving it is to gather. It's worth considering how many of the stories of Jesus are centered around the sharing of food. The Gospels are jam-packed full of Jesus eating and drinking with others. He makes the best wine for a wedding at Cana. The religious leaders call him a glutton and accuse him of choosing to eat with sinners. He invites himself to Zacchaeus' home, and his last time with his special friends is spent around the dinner table. So when Jesus feeds 5,000 plus people sitting on the mountainside, he does more than fill their stomachs. He brings them together in community, to sit down together, to be with one another, to notice one another, to be fed together. Jesus invites them to experience and to enjoy the abundance of being in community. This is not just about me as an individual, making sure that I have been fed and had enough, or about my parish or my group of friends. It's about everyone. In God's kingdom, there is enough, more than enough, for absolutely everyone to be fed and some to spare. At the end of the story, we learn that the crowds ate and were satisfied. Why was that? Was it because their stomachs were full, or was it because they had been fed by Jesus in his presence? I wonder what that would have been like, to be fed by Jesus and to eat in his presence. What would it be like to invite him to sit round our tables, to let him watch and share, join in the conversation as we gather together? And as we gather together this morning to worship, to read and to pray, as we gather in our churches to share bread and wine together, do we invite Jesus to come and be present with us? In the end, Jesus' feeding miracles reveal to us more and more of who Jesus is. He gives bread because he is bread. As we gather as a community, as a body, we become his body, the church. And so we pray this morning, come, Lord Jesus, be a living presence with us. Feed us and nourish us, shape us so that we become the community you want us to be. Amen.
So let us pray. In the power of the Spirit and in union with Christ, let us pray to the Father. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Almighty God, we praise you for the many blessings you have given to those who worship you at home and in your house of prayer. And we pray that all who seek you may find you and, being filled with the Holy Spirit, may become a living temple acceptable to you. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We seek your blessing on our homes and communities, on the lonely, the fearful, and the isolated, on our neighbours, families, and friends. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for the sick and the suffering, and all who care for them, especially Jacques, Jen, Catherine, Brian, Jennifer, Jean, Jane, Alan, Christine, Mike, Aileen, Rosemary, Richard, Ali, Maurice, Ron, Gordon, and any of those especially on our minds. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We give you thanks for the lives of those recently departed, especially Prissy Holwell, Vivian Bolt, Roy Weber, Baby Elise Muchmore, Edward Courtley, and Daphne Brown. And all those we remember with love and thanksgiving. May they rest in peace, and may your peace rest upon all who grieve, that they may know the hope of Christ. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Loving Lord, we thank you that you have called us into the body of Christ here in this place, and we praise you for all your good gifts to us. Help us to go out into the world refreshed by your Spirit and in the power of your love to live for you through Christ our Lord. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And now we have the collect for the eighth Sunday after Trinity. Almighty and everlasting God, we beseech you to direct, sanctify, and govern our hearts and bodies in the ways of your laws and the works of your commandments, that through your most mighty protection, both here and ever, we may be preserved in body and soul. Through our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
We now pray the Lord's Prayer. As our Saviour taught us, so we pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
The love of the Lord Jesus draw us to himself. The power of the Lord Jesus strengthen us in his service. The joy of the Lord Jesus fill our hearts. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among us and remain with us and those whom we love and pray for today and always. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you very much for joining us again this morning. Thank you very much, Nikki, for joining me this morning.
Nice to be here.
And hopefully, should you want to listen to that again, or it will be on our website, as I've remembered to press record. The Coffee Morning will be Zooming on Wednesday, and the details I will send out if you haven't received them. They are on the end of the service sheet for the X Valley, but I'll send them out if you haven't got them and you're at St. Peter's. And some of you phoners, I might try and give you a ring next week and we'll try and sort out this mute thing. Find a mutual time to do it and try and get it to work. I'll try and remember that. But thank you for putting up with my technical inadequacies. I hope you have God bless you all. It's always a joy to be with you. And I always feel I go off to the next place with a real spring in my step after I've done this. So the joy of the Lord be with you this week and see you at the weekend. Bye-bye.
See you. Thank you, Steph.
Bye.
Thank you.
God bless.
See you. Bye-bye. On.